WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. The presidential debate, I'm Sherry Preston. The day after their first face-to-face meeting, Kamala Harris and Donald Trump are taking part in 9/11 commemorations today, first at Ground Zero, then in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Last night's first Trump-Harris debate touched on everything from national security and abortion rights to the economy and immigration. Donald Trump at one point repeating a false conspiracy theory about migrants in Ohio.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
Harris called that ridiculous and said of a second Trump term in the White House.
Understand what it would mean if Donald Trump were back in the White House with no guardrails, because certainly we know now the court won't stop him. We know J.D. Vance is not going to stop him. It's up to the American people to stop him.
This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. People in Wisconsin have lower concentrations of forever chemicals in their blood than people in other states. That's according to a newly published PFAS study from the University of Wisconsin. Researchers found people who eat fish on a regular basis have higher levels than most, so do older white men who make more money. Civic Media political editor Dan Schaefer says Kamala Harris won last night's debate, not just on style, but also on substance.
There are a number of issues that people really care deeply about that Harris spoke to in a really substantive way. And I think we saw Donald Trump, you know, just constantly falling back into conspiracy-laden nonsense.
Schaefer says Trump played to his base of supporters while Harris spoke more effectively to swing voters. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The city of Duluth is proposing $14 million in tax assistance for Sofidel, a paper manufacturing company that recently acquired the Duluth paper mill property. City officials say the incentive could create up to 160 new jobs in the area. They also say the company is planning an expansion as part of the $250 million investment project, but they need some financial assistance to make it a reality. Officials are looking into a tax increment financing tool to help and will vote on that package in October. Construction on new city-owned internet infrastructure in Superior has broken ground. On Friday, the Connect Superior project officially got underway near Baxter Avenue and North 16th Street. The project seeks to connect about 850 homes in the area to a new fiber network, with plans to expand to every neighborhood in the city. This portion of the project will cost about $7 million of the $40 to $60 million it will take to connect the entire city over 5 to 8 years. The funding was provided by pandemic-era relief money. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers start the road trip off with a win. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Milwaukee did just enough to get a 3-2 win over the San Francisco Giants on Tuesday. Game 2 in the series is tonight. It's the second game of a 6-game swing out west. Without quarterback Jordan Love available this week due to a sprained MCL, the Packers will go with Malik Willis, who they traded for this preseason. Willis played at the very end of the game with Philadelphia last week. Coach Matt LaFleur said they are getting Willis ready for Indianapolis on Sunday.
You got to play to your player's strengths, so it's our job to try to come up with whatever we come up with in order to put him in a position to be successful.
It'll be the Packers and the Colts this Sunday as each team tries for its first win. And on Saturday, one of college football's top programs comes to Madison. Wisconsin will play host to Alabama. Kickoff is at 11 a.m. This week, Civic Media stations have a full slate of high school football. Download the free Civic Media app and don't miss a snap this season. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It is going to be sunny and warm and not really all that humid here for much of the upcoming week. Today, partly cloudy with a high in the low 80s. The wind will be out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, upper 50s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. It's a non-conference showdown against Alabama. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Give the star in your life the brightest gift in the world. Name a star after them. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can name a star for birthdays, weddings, or even memorials. Over 45 years, we have named millions of stars for celebrities and individuals from around the world. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, a familiar voice on our Women Win Wisconsin segment powered by Motherhood for Good, our friend and congressional candidate, Dr. Kristen Lierley.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call or text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dr. Laura Hanks joining us at 11:33 for public service announcement. We are going to talk about some of the debate last night focusing on women's reproductive health and how each respective campaign would handle that.
Yeah.
Or even acknowledge it.
There's such a difference between the two. I mean, it's.
Yeah. And we do want to remind you, Tuesday, September 17th is National Voter Registration Day.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not registered to vote, get registered to vote. That way it's done before November 5th. Make sure you have a plan to cast your ballot. And I just saw someone on the text line. This is not a time to be smug, my friends. This is a time to make sure that we keep the gas to the pedal, the pedal to the metal. Wes from Middleton said, I've been driving a lot around rural Wisconsin this week. Many, many Trump signs, far too many to be complacent. Some spots were giving me 2016 vibes.
Yeah.
No taking our feet off the gas. This thing is far from over. Absolutely. We have to stay motivated. We have to stay hopeful, optimistic, but the work is not done. The work's not done.
Correct. You always run like you're, it doesn't matter. Polls don't vote. Polls don't mean a thing. You work like you're running from behind. And
yes.
You got to do the hard work. You never walk into a campaign office saying, all right, we got this.
We got this. We're good.
You can always make more phone calls, always knock on more doors, always talk to more people.
We are the underdogs.
Exactly.
Don't forget it.
Yeah.
And get registered to vote, please.
Yes.
And make sure your friends and family are registered to vote as well. All right. We promised that we would talk about this because this came up last night. And we talked about it yesterday under the new segment we're calling This Should Not Be a Thing.
Yeah.
Because someone's Facebook friend, their neighbor's daughter's friend, said that Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio, are abducting people's pets and eating them. Let's play the clip, Calvin, from Donald Trump last night about eating dogs.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
Did you hear how he backed up on that for a moment? They're eating the pets. Like, he wanted to be dramatic. And I literally said to no one in my house, did he just say they're eating the pets?
Because it's loony.
Yeah.
Play the second clip, Calvin. Also, Donald Trump claims that pets are being eaten by migrants in Springfield, Ohio.
There have been no credible reports of specific claims of pets being harmed, injured, or abused by individuals within the immigrant community.
Well, I've seen people on television.
Let me just say here, this is the
people on television say my dog was taken and used for food.
I see people on television from former President Donald Trump. I see people on television saying this. So obviously everything he sees on TV, he believes is real. Everything.
But, yeah. Many, many people are saying, Jane, many people are saying.
Well, I did a little further digging into this story.
Yeah.
And PBS has a wonderful piece on it. We will include it in the show notes. It's about a 10-minute long video that I think is absolutely worth people take a look at. Yes, there are about 10 to 15,000 Haitian migrants who are here legally in Springfield, Ohio. One of the men that was interviewed in this PBS interview has been here since 2018. Who was president in 2018?
Donald Trump.
That is correct. So, yes, there is an immigrant population of Haitian nationals in Springfield, Ohio. That is a real thing. But this all started, apparently, because of a crash that killed an 11-year-old boy in Springfield, Ohio. Aiden Clark was killed last summer. A minivan driven by a Haitian immigrant drifted left of center and hit an oncoming school bus. The bus rolled over, and the little boy was killed. Now his father is speaking out, denouncing J.D. Vance, the Republican vice presidential candidate, denouncing J.D. Vance for citing his son's death as justification for false claims that migrants in Springfield are stealing and eating residents' pets. Now, this is a quote. "I wish that my son, Aiden Clark, was killed by a 60-year-old white man," he said during public comments at Tuesday's city commission meeting. "I bet you never thought anyone would say something so blunt, but if that guy killed my 11-year-old son, the incessant group of hate-spewing people would leave us alone. The last thing we need is to have the worst day of our lives violently and constantly shoved in our faces, but even that's not good enough for them. They take it one step further. They make it seem that our wonderful Aiden appreciates your hate and that we should follow your hate." So they are using the death of his son as the point for why these people are eating pets. J.D. Vance was asked about it again last night.
Yep.
Michelle Cinder, reporter, asked him, and he doubles down on it. "I have residents calling me, telling me they've seen it with their own eyes. They've seen people taking ducks out of parks and killing them right before their eyes." What's astonishing to me, if that is true, no one has a cell phone in Springfield, Ohio. No one has a cell phone that has video capabilities. They're watching this happen right before their eyes. No one has their phone to record this. That seems questionable to me. I want to play a clip, Calvin, from this PBS special, talking to people in Springfield, Ohio. And we're going to hear this clip from a man who is a manager at a manufacturing company in Springfield. Calvin, let's play that PBS clip, please.
What he's welding here again are welded axle components.
Jamie McGregor is the CEO of McGregor Metal, which makes welded parts for the auto and farm industries. Right now, about 10% of his workforce is Haitian, over 30 employees.
I wish I had 30 more. Our Haitian associates come to work every day. They don't have a drug problem. They'll stay at their machine. They'll achieve their numbers. They are here to work. And so in general, that's a stark difference from what we're used to in our community.
McGregor acknowledges the sudden arrival of so many new immigrants is a challenge on multiple fronts. But he believes this is partly how the industrial Midwest can regrow.
We want more jobs in our community. And in order to fill those jobs, some jobs need to be people who are not originally from here.
There's things in the last 5 years that have really changed and has been a forward improvement for Springfield. But this is taxing the resources of the city. Well, afterwards.
Springfield's mayor, Rob Rue, says he was cautiously optimistic when the first Haitians settled in town. But then their numbers quickly rose. The city estimates 12,000 to 15,000 Haitians are here now.
The infrastructure of the city, our safety forces, our hospitals, our schools. Springfield is a close community and has a big heart. But at the same point, we've had this influx that has taxed all these services.
And I can absolutely see that.
Yeah.
And appreciate that. I don't doubt that their city services, hospitals, public education, EMS services, probably housing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't doubt that this is all being strained. However, correct me if I'm wrong. This is a local government and a local state issue. Funding rural hospitals, correct?
Yeah.
Public education is a state and local issue, correct?
Correct.
This is not a federal government issue.
Mm-mm.
And from what I recall, there's been a Republican governor in Ohio for decades. And I believe they have a pretty solid majority in the Ohio legislature filled with Republicans. So if you need help in your community with your hospitals and your public schools and your EMS services and your police services, you should be talking to your local government for help.
The other thing, too, I want to make clear on is there are a lot of cities out there who are, you know, not like Springfield. Springfield's a smaller city.
It is.
But bigger cities, when people start to move in there, regardless of where they are from, those services are also taxed. So the fact that this is happening is not a we blame it on immigration issue. It's because you have more people coming in there, and then you make those adjustments, and then you can provide building your tax base. As he said, these are jobs that need to be filled. And people, if they can't hire them with locals, then let's get people working who are immigrants who want these jobs, who clearly, as this Mr. McGregor said, are doing a great job.
Yeah. They show up.
Yeah.
They're reliable. They're not on drugs. They want to work. And I saw some guy on Twitter yesterday who said, well, this just means that they're taking American jobs. Did you listen to the clip?
Yeah.
They can't get locals to do these jobs.
Yeah.
Locals don't want to do these jobs, or if they do try to do these jobs, they suck at it.
This is also on top of the fact that we have many people, you know, the farming industry heavily relies on immigrant workforces. And if you try to do something that's rash and without good follow through, you're going to collapse the economy of states and this nation by taking away major workforce. You take away immigrants, you're like, all right, they're all going. All right, what are the farmers going to do? What is this McGregor guy going to do? What are all these individuals going to do who have immigrant labor forces?
We're going to keep this conversation going, and then Dr. Laura Hanks will be joining us at 11:33 for public cervix announcement. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. What were your impressions, your takeaways from last night's presidential debate? We'd love to hear from you. This is Matt Nair on air. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join us, call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Leon hates that we continue to call Twitter. Dominic Salvia.
Oh, Dom baby.
Salvia Show every weekday, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network on our news talk stations. Make sure you listen to Dom. I've caught him the last couple of days. He's doing a great job. Of course, Todd Alba from noon to 2 p.m. today. Todd, you can, if you're in Brookfield, you can see the Todd Father live and in person.
Yupper Deeds. He's Yupper Deeds.
He's at the Marcus Majestic in Brookfield on Springdale Road. He's going to be broadcasting from there. And then there's a big premiere tonight of a baseball movie.
Just a bit outside.
From about the 1982 Brewers. So Todd Ross broadcasting live today from the Majestic Theater, again on Springdale Road in Brookfield. He'll be out there from noon to 2. Make sure you stop by. If you're in the area, say hi to Todd. I think I'm going to go invade him on my way home. Stop and say hello.
You might hear Jane on the show.
And then Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 and Dominic Salvia from 4 to 6 p.m. Before we went to the break, we were talking about comments that now the Republicans are running with J.D. Vance and Donald Trump, completely unfounded assertions that Haitian migrants who are here legally in Springfield, Ohio, are abducting people's pets and ducks and killing them and eating them. And J.D. Vance doubled down after the debate last night and said, well, all kinds of people are calling me and telling me that this is happening. And even though the city manager and I believe the sheriff of Springfield, Ohio, both said that there is no concrete evidence that this is happening, J.D. Vance is still going to double down on this. And thank you, Sue from Franklin, for sending this in. After the debate last night, Caitlin Collins on CNN said to him, J.D., if someone calls your office and says they saw Bigfoot, that doesn't mean they saw Bigfoot. You and Trump have a responsibility to not promote false information.
In that interview, she says there's very little evidence of this happening. She counters with, Caitlin Collins, there is no evidence. And that doesn't stop him from talking.
No.
That doesn't stop him. And here's my take on it. You can weave your lies around the economy. You can weave your lies around war. You can weave your lies around abortion. You can weave your lies around anything that are the big hitters. But when we're talking about something like this, and you are possibly causing greater stress, because Marjorie Taylor Greene is on video yesterday talking about this too in a planning committee meeting or something like that, where she wants this thing on the record as far as Springfield, Ohio, that people are quote unquote eating pets. When you choose something like this specifically, it can have devastating consequences on people.
And violent consequences.
Yes. It makes me so mad that they're so flippant about it. Like, well, you know, people are saying, many people are saying, there have been many reports. And to your point before, Jane, really? Then where is any evidence of this? Where's a video? Where's a phone call? Where's anything other than, I think they're eating cats? What are you truly do not care about people.
Well,
at all.
Unfortunately, I don't think they consider them people.
I mean, Jane, I would go as far as to say is they don't consider anyone who disagrees with them people, honestly, because they have no problem saying that. I mean, Donald Trump stood on that stage last night, and not to her face, because he wouldn't look at her in the face, but he said to an audience, the president hates her.
Yeah, Joe Biden hates her.
What kind of locker room high school bunk is that?
Carrie from Tosa texting and listening here on WAUK. When I was a kid growing up in Sheboygan in the 70s, there was a large number of new Hmong immigrants. Racist Sheboyganites said the same thing, that they were abducting dogs and eating them. And to think how that was able to get around without the internet and social media, sad how much xenophobia still exists. You're absolutely right, Carrie. It's heartbreaking and sickening.
And our Hmong population is one of our richest cultures in this state.
Absolutely.
Of our immigrant population. And love and respect to all of them. But the Hmong population here, they love this state. And people... They love this state. They love this country. And I love having them here because their culture is so deep. And they bring it to us. And they love sharing it. And I'm getting angry now.
Calvin.
Well, and like he's framing this as a border issue. Haiti doesn't border the United States.
There's that.
It's actually an island.
And they are here legally. They are here under a humanitarian program. And one of the men interviewed in this PBS document has been here since 2018 when Donald Trump was in office. We have Mark from Prairie du Sac on the line. Good morning, Mark. Thank you for joining us. What do you want to say?
Yeah, the only thing that I've seen, like the Hmong doing, is when I've been out pheasant hunting, I've seen a lot of them out on the field collecting mushrooms. And I wouldn't dare do that because I don't know what mushrooms are edible.
Right.
Or not, but I mean that. And the only thing close to this that I've ever heard about, and actually documented cases, this is from like 40 years ago up in Superior, there was a Chinese restaurant that apparently was harvesting seagulls and serving them up to people as chicken. And they actually got busted for that, my dad worked at, they were all going to that place for lunch, and then they found out they actually had been eating seagulls rather than chicken. So It's just horrifying that they're going on and doing this. There's no documentation, but Donald Trump had to repeat that lie, and they think they're going to run with it. And
somebody's going to get hurt, Mark. That's what really makes me angry, is that words have power.
Yeah.
And those assertions have power and encourage people or even give permission to people to be violent towards this group of individuals. That, to me, is the danger. It's dangerous.
Yeah.
And certainly, if there's any truth to these rumors, that would be bad.
Yeah.
But right now, you are claiming this with no proof whatsoever, except for hearsay. And my friend's daughter's neighbors said...
One of the big dangers in that as well, and we've seen throughout the past 10 years with Donald Trump and his political ways, is the normalization of this stuff where you take it and you're like, oh, of course it's happening because he said it. Or it's like, oh, God, he's saying it. Whatever. I got to do something else. We normalize that. We don't call it out as much as the people. She can call it out on news, but J.D. Vance doesn't care. He thinks it's funny.
Well, and the people who need to see that aren't going to
exactly.
See it. They're never going to see that.
That normalization is also just as much a danger because we just get used to it.
Thank you for your calls and your texts. Unfortunately, we have news coming up. And then when we return, it will be public service announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. But we're going to continue talking about some of the comments that came up during last night's presidential debate. So stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Senator Tammy Baldwin's office says people studying to be doctors are less likely to take jobs in states with abortion bans. Baldwin says enrollment in Wisconsin medical schools has dropped 10% since Roe v. Wade was overturned.
Our rights and freedoms should be uniform no matter where we live. Our access to health care should be uniform no matter where we live.
Baldwin's opponent, Eric Hovde, supports an abortion ban after 12 to 14 weeks of pregnancy and says voters in each state should put the question to a referendum. People in Wisconsin have a chance to see the Northern Lights again starting tonight. NOAA is predicting a minor geomagnetic storm tonight and tomorrow night. Unfortunately, it's also supposed to be too cloudy in Wisconsin for skygazers to get a good look. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The St. Louis County Board has given initial approval to the proposed maximum tax levy for 2025. The proposal would increase the tax levy by 7.2%, but county officials assured residents that the jump is below the growth of the tax base, so many homeowners won't see an increase in their taxes at all. They say because there's been so much residential growth, there are more taxpayers to contribute to reaching their goal. The county board will host two public meetings on it, and it must be finalized by the end of the month. Superior residents spoke against a proposed utility rate increase at a public meeting on Monday. Residents say they're already making sacrifices due to increased prices, and they can't afford the proposed increase by Superior Water, Light, and Power. The rate increase would see an overall jump of 5.9% across three utilities, and the average resident would pay an extra $26 per month. The final decision on the rate increase will be made by the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin sometime in November. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. I almost feel sorry for the Kardashians. They just want to be left alone, but attention seems to find them. Take Dream Kardashian, for example. She's had a really big week, making her modeling debut, walking the runway with sass and attitude, creating a new Instagram page, and recently releasing her first single, a saucy tune called Besties Do It Better. The really amazing part? She's 7 and in second grade. Oh, but don't worry, there is serious parental oversight. Dream's parents are Blac Chyna and Rob Kardashian, the youngest and chubbiest of the Kardashian brood. I'll just leave you with a sample size of the lyrics for Besties Do It Better. It's Dream, I'm on the scene, and I'm the queen. There's no time to be mean. Besties do it better. That's my friend forever. I want my friend forever. Besties do it better. Her parents are terrible songwriters. They should have asked Uncle Kanye for help. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be sunny and warm and not really all that humid here for much of the upcoming week. Today, partly cloudy with a high in the low 80s. The wind will be out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, upper 50s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 68.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, the aftermath of the most important debate of your lifetime. Special guest host Matt Rothschild will help us break it down and figure out what it all means.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
People dream high in the quiet of the night. You know that I caught it.
morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha, where you can always join us. Call or text, it's the same number, 855-752-4842. If you have the app, if you have downloaded the Civic Media app, you can call and text directly from the app. It's very handy. And you can also leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. I want to make sure that we acknowledge today is the anniversary of 9/11. It was 23 years ago today that we lost nearly 3,000 Americans when our country was attacked. I remember it very well. I was on the air that day. This was before we had televisions in studios.
Yeah.
So I was running back and forth across the hallway to the one television that we had to actually try and find out what was going on. But I feel badly that we haven't acknowledged it until now. Lots of other stuff has been going on, but it's important that we never forget that.
Correct.
Dr. Laura Hanks is here, as she is every Wednesday at this time, for a public cervix announcement. Dr. Laura, we've been spending a lot of time this morning talking about last night's debates. Did you watch the entire thing, or were you doing life things?
Oh, of course I did. And welcome back to you, Jane. It's so good to see you.
Good to see you.
I'm glad you had a good break.
Thank you.
Yeah, I definitely stayed up past my bedtime to watch it because I was just so excited, and it did not disappoint. Let me tell you what, we had a great time.
Did you watch it with other people, or were you just at home?
I was at home. I was just with my husband, but we were both pretty jazzed. So it was big turnaround from the last debate.
Yeah, completely different feeling when I woke up this morning, as opposed to the last debate that was not so good. We're gonna play a couple clips from last night. Let's go back, Calvin. Let's go to Donald Trump talking about the Affordable Care Act.
Your administration is backing a lawsuit to invalidate the Affordable Care Act. So given that people are losing their jobs now and need health care more than ever, would you consider rethinking your position on that?
Well, that's a lawsuit coming out of Texas again. That was headed up by Texas. And what we want to do is get rid of the bad health care and put in a great health care. And we will always, I will say this, I can make this commitment to you, the Republican Party is fully backing pre-existing conditions. Now, if we could get a great health care plan,
I think that's the wrong
which
clip.
Would need the House to do.
Yeah, I think that's the wrong clip. That is something that he has said before about, of course, we're going to replace it with something bigger and better and more wonderful. That never happened.
Yeah, but trust us, he's not saying anything that has. It's just concepts right now.
And do we have that clip? My new favorite clip, Dr. Laura, is this one from last night.
Yes or no, you still do not have a plan.
I have concepts of a plan. I'm not president right now. But if we come up with something, I would only change it if we come up with something that's better and less expensive. And there are concepts and options we have to do that. And you'll be hearing about it in the not too distant future.
2 weeks. In 2 weeks. Well, I have a great new concept of a plan for you in 2 weeks.
I have a question for Dr. Hanks. I don't know if you've hired interns and like you've been part of the hiring process of like newer doctors or newer students. If you sat someone down and said, let's just do a role play really quick. Let's say a patient comes in with, you know, chest pains of blah, 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 and you go on and you say, what would you do? What would you say to them if they said, well, I have a concept of what I want to do, but I'm not a doctor here yet, so I can't tell you. What would you do? Would you hire them? Would you make them an important person of your staff?
It's so funny because I had that thought when he said that last night in real time. I was like, I can't imagine saying that to a patient, like real time. I mean, like, I have a concept
sort of
what should be done, but I'll get back to it.
Yeah, I'm not really sure yet.
Yeah.
You know, we're working out the details and stuff, so I'll get back to you.
I'm
in
not
two
officially
weeks.
Your doctor, so
yet.
It's all up here in my noodle.
Let's play.
For those of you that can't see us online, like Jane and Greg are doing all the typical hand gestures.
The accordion hands.
To do the Kamala. Catching. The new Kamala look that is now my favorite meme where she just kind of looks at him like, oh, really? Go on, sir.
And she did that so well.
So well.
She really did. And Greg and I talked about this before we got on the air in that she could have gone way over the top with her facial expressions, which if it had been me, I would have been the one whose face would have been reacting too much. Yeah. She handled it perfectly.
Yeah.
She looked at him sometimes almost with pity.
Yes.
She did.
Yeah, with pity and just like, I mean, there was once or twice where you just have to laugh. Like, it's just like, what? But which was like good. And it wasn't all the time, you know. And then I think just oh, do tell me more.
Right.
So please mansplain more to me. And it was just that feeling as like a female in this country of like, mm-hmm, go on. Like, of course, we need you to explain it to us. That doesn't even make sense.
And I think that is so relatable, Dr. Hanks, to millions of American women. I really do. Any woman in the workforce has been there with that guy.
Stop pointing at me. I didn't do it.
Sorry, I'll point that way. With that guy. Some unnamed that guy over there.
Well, Angela Lang and I talked about this last week, and we said that, you know, she's not only has to walk a fine line as a woman, she has to walk a fine line as a woman of color. And then on top of it, a woman of power. Like, and anything she, because if she would have overdone it, oh my God, that would have been the story.
Absolutely.
It wouldn't have been the lies. It wouldn't have been the red face. It would have just been Kamala Harris gets mad.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And Kamala Harris couldn't control herself. Kamala Harris couldn't control her facial reactions.
Women are emotional. You know what? You're right. Women are emotional.
And we can control them too.
Yeah.
It's really something.
I can't control mine.
We're going to talk, of course, abortion came up and women's health care. Calvin, let's play Donald Trump lying about abortions.
You could do abortions in the 7th month, the 8th month, the 9th
That's
month,
not true.
And probably after birth.
Probably after birth.
Absolutely. Absolutely not. And what I loved is and correct me if I'm wrong, I had heard that the moderators were not supposed to fact check. And she could not help herself. And she said, there is no state in this country that does. That's murder to after birth. Also, I saw some memes that pointed out that abortion after birth is actually a school shooting. So, like, let's talk about that, Donald Trump, which is a little bit of a low blow. But I'm sorry. Like, it's needs to be talked about as well. This is ridiculous. No one is doing these 9-month abortions. Like, he keeps saying it because people latch onto it. And so I'm so glad that she, over the muted mic, is yelling not true. And that the moderator was just like, also not true, because it's not true. And it's just because he keeps saying it, it's getting this, you know, gets people to hear it that don't know. But we need to just keep pointing out that it's absolutely not true. And what he said about abortion and oh my gosh, her response was just so, so beautiful. Like, so sad and true about just like, don't tell me that the states are doing a great job when there's people that really wanted to have a baby that are bleeding out in the hospital parking lot, because the laws in that state have made the doctors so scared to treat them that they can't even get the treatment that they need. And I mean, she brought it to like, these are real people. These are real situations. This is what is happening by what you've done with overturning Roe v. Wade. And he's, you know, so proud of it. But still won't answer any questions about if he would sign or veto a national abortion.
Yeah,
ban.
He completely, he gave a complete non-answer about that and just danced around everything. And they let him get away with it again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They didn't let him tell his lies, which I did appreciate. You know, they called him on the lies, but it's just so hard to get an answer from him. And, you know, like
he has no answers.
Yes. He has no answer.
There you go.
Exactly.
Well, like, he has concepts of a plan, you guys. He doesn't have the exact plan. It's just a concept of a plan right now. Don't rush me.
Yeah. And she's just really been, you know, pushing reproductive freedom. She's been to a Planned Parenthood, has talked to people on the ground. She has invested in patients that have uteruses like that are going through this and has a realistic approach. And so it's just very refreshing.
Well, and then he claimed that what he placed a call to Alabama and then they reversed their decision banning IVF. That's not true either. That's just not true. And what I found so frustrating, Dr. Hanks, was that, again, Grandpa Ranty, they let Grandpa Ranty have the last word every time. They did.
That annoyed me. They did. Yeah, that was really frustrating.
But I can almost see them backstage going, you know, he's not going to do this if we don't let him have the last word. So just let him. Just let him take his binky. Let him take whatever and do it. And then we'll get him off the stage that way. Because otherwise he's not going to play.
And that's the infuriating. Go on, doctor.
I just didn't understand why they kept turning his mic back. Like they had his mic muted and he would start ranting. And then I was like, why are they turning it back on?
Because you got to let Grandpa Ranty rant.
Well, and that's the thing too, is in the second hour, Kamala, I don't even remember what it was about per se. I just know that she had to go back and do the follow-up answer to address this. They wouldn't let her do the same thing.
Right.
They shut her down. They said, no, we need to move on. Well, no, you turned his mic on every time he started talking.
Yes.
But no, for her, the vice president of the United States, just once. She's trying to do it once throughout the whole thing. That was probably one of the most infuriating things for me to watch. Because
I agree.
Because then we have, afterwards, we have the postmortems from all the talking heads who are like, well, you know, Kamala really didn't say much. She didn't really say much. Like, what more did you want her to? We would have liked some plans. She has plans. She has lots of plans. And her bringing up a Project 2025 up front and then really kind of leaving it be and not like making it a thing to talk about over and over again, I thought that was very smart.
Speaking of, Calvin, let's play that clip with Donald Trump denying he knows anything about Project 2025. Let's listen to this one.
I know she knows better than anyone. I have nothing to do with Project 2025. That's out there. I haven't read it. I don't want to read it purposely. I'm not going to read it. This was a group of people that got together. They came up with some ideas. I guess some good, some bad.
Wait. I haven't read it, but he's already said he knows portions of it that he doesn't like.
Yeah.
So that's a lie. I'm not going to read it purposely. Well, you don't read, honey.
There aren't
enough pictures in it. It's 900 pages long. I know you're not going to read it, but... is that what we want in a leader? It's like, I heard there's something bad in that report, so la, 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 la. I'm not going to read it. I don't want to know what's in it because, no, it's bad. That's what we want in our leader?
No, I mean, Greg, did you have another thought before I...
Oh, I have so many thoughts, Dr. Hanks. But go ahead.
No, I mean, I think you're absolutely, I mean, he has no plans. He has no, he's just, he went out there, he was going to do his ranting and raving, and she baited him into like different things and got him to do it. And then just sat back and watched him self-destruct. And it was beautiful.
And the rally comments were perfect. Calvin, let's play that first one. Kamala Harris talking about people leaving his rallies because they're bored.
During the course of his rallies, he talks about fictional characters like Hannibal Lecter. He will talk about windmills cause cancer. And what you will also notice is that people start leaving his rallies early out of exhaustion and boredom.
And do we have time for the response? Do we have time for the response, Calvin?
I believe that that was about like the economy or immigration. I'm not sure, but she just threw that out and knew that he would take the bait. And he just freaked out. We have the biggest crowds, blah, 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 blah. And it was just like, oh, you fell for it. Like, we all saw it and you fell for it.
We're going to come back with that clip and we're going to wrap things up with, I heard someone endorsed the Harris-Walz campaign. I've heard rumors about that.
You heard it was me.
Many people are saying. All the details on the way with Dr. Laura Hanks, public service announcement. This is Matt Nair on air. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thank you.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL HHS or the U.S. government.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Welcome back to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Buck, Sweet Kelby on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us anytime. Call, text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dr. Laura Hanks is here, as she is every Wednesday, for a public service announcement. And we're talking about last night's rally between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump. Right before we went to break, we played the clip about Kamala Harris pointing out that people, because I've seen it in real time, I've watched his rallies. Yes, they leave after like an hour because it's exhausting. He took so well to that comment, Calvin. Let's play Donald Trump's response.
She can't talk about that. People don't leave my rallies. We have the biggest rallies, the most incredible rallies in the history of politics. That's because people want to take their country back.
She can't talk about that. Don't talk about my rallies. Like you said, Greg, for some people, it's don't talk about my wife. Don't talk about my kid. For him, it's crowd size.
My rally, yeah.
Don't talk about my rallies.
I like how he said, no one comes to your rallies. I'm like, man, there were like 40,000 people at two rallies in one night. I mean, I don't know, man. Okay, cool. Cool, man.
He's such a petulant child.
He is. And I think if nothing else, maybe that cut through for some folks who are still undecided.
I hope so.
Maybe seeing that adult, not adult, plan, concept of a plan.
Donald Trump, concept of a president.
Angie from Monroe is on the line. Good morning, Angie. What did you want to say?
I just want to say that I saw that somebody was commenting on, you know, one of the Facebook posts or whatever, that somehow Kamala got a hold of the questions because her answers were so good. Oh. And I went to my chiropractors today, and I heard over her, and I know he's full Republican, and I overheard him making that same comment, you know, she got the answer somewhere. I was just laughing so hard to myself. Oh my God. I just priceless, just priceless. And I just want to say, I watched the whole thing last night.
Good for you.
It made me feel good.
Absolutely. Angie, thank you so much. Thanks for listening. Really, really appreciate it. I think a lot of people felt pretty good after last night.
I did. Yeah.
Hopeful.
I think I'm not surprised at all that there's like that rumor mill going around, because, you know, she hasn't been, you know, that's been the complaint, is that she hasn't done a lot of interviews. People don't know who she is. And the fact that she did so well, that the only reason could be that she cheated, you know, like it doesn't surprise me, coming from like a Trump campaign, that would be the rumor mill spreading. And that, you know, I also heard that the moderators were unfair, but we already talked about, they let him have the last word. Like they fact checked him because like he was telling blatant and unsafe, I would argue, lies that put doctor, you know, when he calls a doctor, essentially calling an OBGYN an executioner, that puts me at risk for people to come after me because
absolutely,
they think that we're murdering children, which is 100% not true. That's you are putting my life at risk, Donald Trump. So like a moderator, I appreciate as a journalist, not only from a journalist, but from like a safety standpoint, you need to shut that down. So again, like we talked about, I'm not at all surprised that we're hearing rumors of, oh, she knew the answers ahead of time. They were on her side. She, you know, got some unfair advantage. She just did well. She just crushed it. Well, like, that's the end of the story.
It's called debate prep. And we talked about this in the first hour. And Dr.
he didn't
Hayes.
Do it.
Right. Exactly. Because he knows best. He is never wrong. He says it himself. He is never wrong. No one can tell him anything. He knows what he needs to do. Don't tell me what I need to do. I've gotten myself this far. I don't need anyone telling me what to do. Good. Let's not tell him what to do. Let's let him keep going with his own instincts. It's going so well for him.
In fact, Donald, do you want to do another debate?
Oh, well, now he's not sure. And as of this morning, he is saying now ABC News should have their license revoked.
Does that sound like Project 2025 to you?
That sounds very much like Project 2025. Let's kill news outlets that we don't like.
Yeah.
That's so, I don't know, Viktor Orban.
His buddy.
Vladimir Putin-like. Before we cut you loose and go to the news, Dr. Hanks, there was an endorsement. After the debate.
A long-awaited endorsement.
Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift told her more than 283 million followers on Instagram, I will be casting my vote for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz in the 2024 presidential election. I'm voting for her because she fights for the rights and causes. I believe we need a warrior to champion them. I think she is steady-handed, a gifted leader. I believe we can accomplish so much more in this country if we are led by calm and not chaos. She also found that she's heartened and impressed by Governor Tim Walz as Harris's running mate, praising him as a champion of LGBTQ plus rights, IVF, and a woman's right to make her own decisions regarding her own body.
Best part, she signed it, childless cat lady.
Yay!
Yeah. Oh, and the picture too was great, her holding her cat.
And the picture, it's just her holding her cat. Yeah. Just a couple quick comments. For those of you that haven't seen Miss Americana, it's her, one of her documentaries.
It's really good.
I encourage you, because about halfway through, she talks about getting involved in politics.
Yes.
And how she hadn't been previously. And people talk to her a lot about like the Dixie Chicks and what happened with them. And she felt this strong need after she went through a sexual assault trial to stand up and speak, be on more of a political stage. So those of us Swifties have been kind of like waiting for her to speak up. And this was just like, as if like the debate couldn't have been any better. I'm getting ready to go to bed. Just like, ooh, I'm just going to snuggle in and look at my memes. And the first thing that pops up is Taylor Swift endorses. I was like, this night can't get any better.
As if she's saying, good night, Dr. Hanks. Sleep tight.
She tucked me in. All is well.
I saw that post 14 minutes after it was put up. It already had a million likes.
Oh, yeah.
Man, she's cool.
And the other side's already freaking out and going back to, too bad she's almost out of eggs. Okay, whatever.
Nobody likes
her. You guys stay with that. Stay with the egg thing. That's working out really, really well for you. We have been saying this all morning, though, Dr. Hanks. As good as things might feel today and as positive and as hopeful as we are, we still have 55 days. We are not done. Don't give up. Don't get complacent. We still have work to do. Dr. Laura Hanks, thank you. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and our engineers. Thank you most of all for calling and texting and listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. News is next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'll talk about the phenomenon of post-summer gelato. And I welcome the band Cat and the Hurricane, who will tell us all about their Midwestern tour.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.